one announcement. In addition, Tom Runyon asked me to make an announcement. He put a tablet out on the table in the foyer for the men's retreat to sign up. He needs sort of a head count. And that deadline is February 4th. So starting today, if you sign that, that way you can sort of know in preparation for planning. Again, we begin a new year, first Sunday in the new year. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. So where do we stand, according to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 there? Where are we now versus where we were last year? Obviously, we can look back and think about last year, correct, now that we're obviously into a new year. Anticipating the fact that there possibly are at least a few more days ahead of us in our lives, where do we plan on being down the road, this pilgrimage called life? Now, I invite your attention to a question that I'm going to pose today, and I'm going to use Romans 12 and verse 11 as a springboard for this question. In Romans 12, there is a discussion of the practical application of the Christian life as it applies individually to each one of us. Paul, writing to the Roman congregation, now gets down to some specifics. The paragraph begins in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. By the time you come to the end of that paragraph, the last part of that chapter, it says overcome evil with good. Obviously, I can't cleave to what is evil and abhor to that which is good and overcome evil without using the true good. So love is the paragraph. That is what this whole paragraph is about. Where is your love? What is your love all about? And so what we're going to look at is Romans 12 and verse 11. This is the passage I want to center on. Paul says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, there's a lot in that passage. The word business there is not talking about, you know, cook, merchant, whatever. The word business there means the Lord's business. Serving the Lord, the Lord's business. Remember, Jesus at age 12 told those in the temple, I must be about my Father's business. Well, this is the same business he's referring to here. Not lazy in the Lord's business. Fervent. The word fervent there means to be hot. Young people sometimes use the expression, he's on fire. He's on fire for what he believes in. And that's the idea here. In spirit. Hot in spirit in serving the Lord. So I ask you the question, what is today your passion? What is your passion? Now, I'm not here to answer that question for you, nor am I to answer that question for me. I've had to prepare this outline, this lesson, in introspect to examine my own life. Where do I stand right now, January 7, 2018, with reference to what do I really, deep down inside, believe life's all about? By the way, what I really believe life's all about, that is my passion. I don't use passion in the sense of something that's irrational, like flying off the handle. I mean, what are you really passionate about? If we went around this room, from the back of this room all the way to this end, and down to the front, all the way across, I said, what one thing do you believe you can't do without in life? Right now, where you are in life, what right now do you believe you cannot do without in life? Whatever you answer that is, that's your passion. That's really what you're about. That's what the whole center of your life is about. Well, that verse, Romans 12 and 11, addresses this question. Not slothful, not lazy in the Lord's business. Serving the Lord how? Fervent. Fervent. Another word for fervent would be passion. Passionate. Now, let's look at sort of more of a little different angle than sometimes people might use, though they sometimes might use this. Let's talk about some excuses, or what I call some quibbles, that people will use to show they're not passionate about what you might be talking about. If you brought up a particular subject, and let's say golf. I know this isn't from the Bible, but this is just an illustration. I had a person one time when I was talking to them how that I played golf a great bit of my life. They said, I don't see any sense in a grown man hitting a white ball, chasing around a cow pasture in a hole for 18. I'd rather watch paint dry. And I said, well, you've never hit that thing straight in the screws and know what that feels like to watch that thing go 250 yards down a green pathway. Well, I just don't get it. Well, that's not your passion, I'd say. So there are all kind of excuses people make that show this isn't their passion. Whatever your passion is, you won't ever use any of these excuses on this wall. None of them. For example, I don't have any time for it. How many of you have ever heard that one on something? You're trying to encourage or persuade somebody to do more of this or to do less of something, so to speak, or to follow a particular course of life, you know, change a whole lifestyle. Well, I don't have time for that. Well, I was told as a kid when I used to say, you know, I don't have time to clean my room. Well, you've got 24 hours just like everybody else. The clock moves at the same pace for everybody just like it does for you. The idea is you're not making time for it. That was sort of the expression. Oh, you got plenty of time. You just don't have time for it. You've got time for something else. So this is an excuse, right? How about the next one? I'm too tired. By the way, that's another one about cleaning up your room, right? I'm too tired. By the way, as we get older, friends and neighbors, do we get tired? Are we tired of being sick and tired? The whole idea is, well, I just don't have the energy or the strength. Well, hey, let's go do something fun. Oh, I'm all about that. I'm not tired now, right? So when a person says, I'm too tired to do something, I don't have enough time to do something, that's not their passion, right? Because we don't make quibbles about what we're passionate about. Or how about this one? Well, you know, things are going well. Yeah. Why should I really change? How many of you ever had a solicitation on the phone? Here's a product we want you. Here's a new credit card. I'm fine where I am. So you're not passionate about what they're trying to sell you, right? And the bottom line is this bottom one on this list, isn't it? I'm just not that interested. You ever told somebody that? Like, again, they call you on the phone trying to get you to buy a product. Look, I'm just not that interested. Except for, like, Candy Taylor. She'd entertain them over here, right? Okay? What's the idea? And by the way, you can list even more of these than I've got here on the wall that are quibbles, excuses. Anytime somebody is making an excuse for something, what are they really saying? That's not my passion. That's not what I'm about. That's not what my life is about. All right, so let's go now to a quiz. Let's go to some questions here. And I got five of them, and you can probably list more than the five. And ultimately, I'm going to give you some verses that sort of tie in with this. Is it not true that what I am passionate about, I study a lot about, and I know quite a bit about it? Is that not pretty true? If a person is really, really interested, guys, in a girl, you know, here's a girl I've got my eye on. You know, I'm in that dating stage, and all of a sudden, you know, I've got this passion, I've got this drive, I've got this fervency for this girl. By the way, you going to study that girl? You going to know anything about her? You going to ask any questions? How about it? Hey, have you seen so-and-so? Yeah, I sort of noticed that. Says, what do you think about her? I don't think much about her. I'm not that interested. What does that mean? That means as far as you're concerned, that is not the competition, right? Because I don't have a passion for that person. I'm not interested in that person. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 29 of Jacob toward Rachel, I'm not talking about Leah now. You know, he actually worked 14 years for that woman. And then he contracted and had to work 7 more. The Bible says they seemed as but a few days for the love he had for her. Would you say he had a passion for Rachel? I'm too tired. I don't have enough time for her. That's not true, is it? You see, what we love, what we love, we study a lot about. Because we study a lot about it, we tend to know quite a bit about it. We may not know everything we want to know, but we know something about it, right? Number two, how about where I spend my time? Now, I remember our kids, when they started dating, more so the boys than Hannah, because the boy tended to come to the house. The boys tended to stay at somebody else's house when they were dating. Next thing you know, you can tell when they're getting serious. Isn't that right, parents? This thing's getting serious here now. It's been a long time now he's been staying with this one girl. Matter of fact, that's all he wants to talk about. That's all he wants to see. Next thing you know, he starts asking questions. Hey, Dad, what about this? Why are you asking me that? Why are you so interested in this girl? What makes her tick versus anybody else? You know, see, when we spend our time on something, that shows what we're passionate about, right? You know, Brother Hogg talking about 50 years. I don't reckon South Africa means a flip to this man, right? Stephen Candy out here in Ghana, West Africa. Those people don't mean anything to you folks. If you quit that work right now, I'm not going back a day in my life. Not because you couldn't, because you don't want to. Does that mean you're really passionate about that work? How about this congregation? I don't want to spend any time with you folks. See, I'm just not that interested. So this church isn't your passion, is it? Let's look at another one. What I'll sacrifice my life for. You know, what we spend our money for has a lot to do with what our passion is, right? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. I read that in a book somewhere. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:21, right? What about grandchildren? You ever seen a grandmother who's got a passion for her grandchildren? You ever seen that? Do you find that grandmother has got a passion for those grandchildren? Do you reckon she studies those grandchildren? Do you reckon she knows anything about those grandchildren? You reckon she wants to spend any time with those grandchildren? As a matter of fact, do you reckon she sort of misses it when she doesn't spend time with her grandchildren? What about her pocket change? What about what's not her pocket change? By the way, all grandchildren know Grandma has plastic. So what's Grandma going to do? I don't have time for them. I'm too tired. I'm fine the way I am. My life was better off without them. I'm just not that interested. Will you ever hear those kind of words come out of a grandmother's mouth toward her grandchildren? Well, I guarantee you, I know one grandmother in this room that wants to spend a whole lot more time than she is right now. She's got a passion for that. That's sort of what her life's wrapped up in, sort of, is the lives of these grandkids. Any grandmother, any granddaddy in here like that? You get it, right? A fourth test is what we talk about. You get on an airplane. I've got to get on an airplane Tuesday, not this Tuesday, Tuesday week, go down to Florida, the school of preaching lectures there. And I fly a lot by myself, sit by all kinds of people. And sometimes they'll ask me what I do. By the way, if you dress like this, they either think you're a lawyer, a doctor, or the obvious, a preacher. Okay. Though, by the way, not all preachers are dressing like this anymore all the time, if you hadn't figured that one out. Next thing, they find out I'm a preacher, all of a sudden the conversation generally changes. Okay, it's quite interesting to watch that phenomenon. But what we generally are passionate about, we talk a lot about. Is that right? By the way, if we study a lot about it and we know a pretty good bit about it, it's something we're very comfortable with talking about, right? And then how about this one? What I'll stand up for when somebody attacks it. If a person attacks what you're passionate about, are you just going to sit there and let that happen? Sort of cross your arms and don't say anything, don't do anything? Oh, it's your opinion. You're welcome to your opinion. If you're passionate about something, about someone. You're going to let anybody speak disparagingly about it or that person? No, you're not. Why? You're talking about my priority here. All right, so we've looked at the quibbles, and now we've sort of looked at this quiz. We're going to come back to this quiz, by the way, in a minute. Let's talk about some quotes that are found in the Bible that apply to our topic. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, is the whole book of Ecclesiastes is on life. What's life all about? The whole duty or the whole of man is what? Fear God, keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Well, there's a verse before you ever get to chapter 12, verse 13, and it says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it. Do it how? With all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. American Standard Version says, in Sheol, in the Hadean realm where you're going. In other words, once you're dead in this life, your body dies, there's no more left to do. There's nothing you can change to do it. You got to do it in this life. You only get one shot. It is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. So it's this life that I'm going to be judged. So whatsoever I have found to do, you don't ever do that half-heartedly. You do it with all your might. By the way, does that mean with all your passion, with all that's within you? About Galatians 6 and verse 9. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. Well, what does faint mean? It means to quit. The idea, I'm too tired. I'm tired of this. Why do people not quit when they're weary, tired, and doing church work? Because that's their passion. That's what they believe in. That's what they cannot live without. Now, here's a verse probably you're not as familiar with in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. The passage says, I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Does this man have a passion for this church, Corinth? I will very gladly spend whatever I've got and be spent. I'll spend whatever of my life I need to spend. And by the way, the more I love you, the less I be loved. How many of you have ever walked down that road? Here you're trying to influence and persuade someone to be a Christian, or you're trying to influence them to be a stronger, have a closer relationship, and you're doing all you can to spend your time, your energy, your life. You're showing love, and the more you show love, the less they just, they don't mean anything to me. You're passionate toward that object, but that object doesn't care anything about you. By the way, the next verse in that section says, but be it so. In other words, if this is the way it's going to be, so be it. It's not going to change me, Paul would say. I love this church. I love this work. I love God. And because of that, regardless of how you look at me, regardless of how you treat me, this is still what I'm going to do. By the way, is that a man's passion? What about Acts 20? By the way, it sort of coincides. This is what Paul actually said to the elders at Ephesus, as he's on his way to Jerusalem with that great collection. In Acts 20 and verse 24, he says, but none of these things move myself, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? With joy? Yeah. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What's Paul's passion? By the way, I'm not saying we've all got to be missionaries like the apostles were and go all over the world. By the way, it's not a bad idea. But the idea is what? Can I have a passion for God on my job? Can I have a passion for God in my home? Can I have a passion for God in my community? Can I have a compassion for God everywhere I go? The answer is yes. All the above. But my question today is, what is your passion? What are you really fervent in spirit about? So I'm to be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. That's what Romans 12:11 says. Is that where I'm fervent in spirit? Is that what I'm on fire for? Now I come to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. By the way, that passage is quoted numerous times through the New Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Matthew 22, Jesus calls that the greatest command. Now let me make this point about Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. I know that says it's a command that that's what we are to do toward God. But let me, for the sake of argument, for the sake of this point, take the word God out of that verse. Okay? I'm not taking it out just for the sake of making a point. And listen, if you don't hear anything else I've said in this sermon today, listen right now. Right now. Okay? Here it is. Whatever it is that I love with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my might, whatever that is my God. You understand that? I don't care what you put in the blank. Whatever I love with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my might, that is my God. So now, let's go back to the test. All or some. What I study, what I know, what I spend my time, what I'll sacrifice, what I'll speak up, what I'll stand up for. Let me give you a topic. Let's say that all of a sudden I have an interest in gardening. Gardening. Anybody in here like gardening? Know anything about gardening? If my passion all of a sudden becomes gardening, by the way, it won't be anytime soon, right? Might be in anticipation of being able to garden. Am I going to study anything about gardening between now and time to actually start gardening? So let's say I don't know anything about it. If I'm going to have a passion for gardening, you think I'm going to study anything on it? We say, well, you better. You're going to be an abject failure. And you can't know what you don't study, right? You reckon I'm going to spend any time in gardening? You reckon I'm going to anticipation getting prepared to do this thing called gardening? Reckon I'm going to spend any money on what you do when you do gardening? You know, buy whatever it needs to do whatever you do gardening. Reckon I'm going to be able to talk about if someone, hey, how's your garden going? Don't know what you're talking about. If my passion is gardening, do you reckon I'll be able to converse with anybody about all that? And by the way, if someone starts criticizing my organic gardening, because I'm going to go organic in this topic, all right? And you criticize me for my organic gardening passion, you think I'm just going to say, well, that's your business. That's not mine. No, if I got a passion for something, what am I going to do? What if... Here's the way I look at this on the wall. I'm going to study a little bit about it. Yeah, obviously studying, I got to spend a little time with it. I don't want to spend that much money. You know, that can cost you a lot of money to do organic stuff. I don't really want to talk about it. And if you criticize it, don't bother me. Let me ask you a question. Am I really passionate about organic gardening? If I just do some of those but not all of them, am I really passionate about that? Come on, you got an answer, right? That answer is no, right? If I have a passion for God, every part of my life is all about God, about Jesus Christ. If I have a passion for that, do you think I'm going to study about that? Do you think I'm going to know anything about those subjects, about those people? Do you think I'm going to spend any time with these kind of people? And people like that. And by the way, I didn't mention this one in the test. How about this one? Do you reckon I'm going to be on time and not be tardy when it comes to things I'm passionate about? Can you imagine a person being an Alabama football fan and be passionate about that, having a ticket to the game tomorrow night, and showing up in the middle of the second quarter? Can anybody in this room imagine that? You don't really care much about Alabama football, that you would show up after the first quarter is completely over, do you? Well, I don't want to spend that much time with it. I'm too tired. Things were going well without it. I'm just not that interested. Well, you're not passionate about Alabama football. Not in this state, right? Someone asked me the other day, well, did you see the game? By the way, this is New Year's Day. I said, what game are you talking about? He said, what game are you talking about? And by the way, what he meant was there was only one. By the way, there wasn't just one. There were several. Y'all do know Auburn played on that day too, right? But that's not what the query was about. The query, did you see the game? What was meant by that is the only one that really mattered. According to whom? According to the individual that asked me the question. By the way, not to be disparaging about it, I understand what passion is in sports. Any of you kids passionate about sports? You spend any time in it? You know anything about it? You spend any money on it? You talk a lot about it? You stand up to defend it if someone attacked it? Yeah, you passionate about it. In the day of judgment, there's only one object of our passion. It matters. And by the way, your passion is your God. If it's football, if it's grandkids, if it's sports and leisure, if it's vacation time, if it's work, whatever is your passion, whatever is my passion, that is my God. So I ask you the question, what's yours? Because it's not hard. It's not hard at all to find out what all our passion is. By the way, you are commended for being here today. Do you know there are a lot of people who are not passionate about God at all, and they're showing it because they're not here. Matter of fact, in some cases, they're not anywhere. They are where their God is. They are what their passion's about. And this book right here says, what you love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, what you're really passionate about is to be the one that created you, the one that sustained you, the one that redeemed you, and the one that's coming back to take you home. I close this sermon with this point. Look down here at this table. You see this table? We're about to observe something off this table in just a few minutes. Does that represent the passion that God Almighty has and Christ, His Son, has for you and me? Did this individual know, did he study or know anything about us? Or did he say, I just don't have time. I'm too tired. Things are going pretty well up here in heaven. Why should I change? I'm really just not that interested. Is that what that table represents down here in front of us? That individual down there spend any time planning the scheme of redemption? Did that individual sacrifice anything for humanity? Did that individual say anything for humanity's sake so that he might go to heaven? Did that individual down there stand up and defend when someone attacks that? Does God Almighty care about what that table represents? Then I'll show you. Right there is the passion of heaven toward humanity. Now, pray tell me how you're going to take that today. This is God's passion for us. Now, I ask you the question, what is your passion? What's yours? You're subject to heaven's invitation today. To be baptized into Christ, confess the faith you have in Christ, give up that old man. Maybe that was your passion. That's not anymore. That's ruin and destruction. And walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship where the blood keeps on cleansing you from all sins. That's the privilege of a child of God, 1 John 1:7. And show forth the faith that you have and show your passion for God. Crucifying the old man, I'm going to have a new birth. I'm not just going to be born of water. I'm going to be born of spirit. Because I've learned what the Bible says my spirit is to be. I'm to be fervent in spirit. On fire. Serving God. Serving the Lord. That's real love, isn't it? That's the definition of what real love is. And I've served the devil that way. I'll serve God even more so. Or maybe you've lost your passion. By the way, whatever you've exchanged for God as your passion is a waste. It's a waste of life. It's a waste of everything. And the day of judgment reveals that in eternity is all. And I don't like to use this phrase, all the time in the world to think about it. Can you imagine man looking back in hell, knowing what he could have done, and he can't change it? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in heaven in eternity, knowing what he did do, and ever regretting a second that he wasn't passionate for what he actually now has? That's the horror of hell. And that's one of the eternal happinesses of heaven, is memory, the ability to know, not by faith but by sight, that I actually got it. I understood. I applied it. I obeyed it. And I spent my life doing that. We're here to encourage you. As Tim leads the song of invitation, is thy heart right with God? If you're subject, you need the prayers of the church in any way, won't you come as we stand, as we sing.